Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. And in fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you've listened to the show over the years, you know that I firmly believe that we serve a God who heals. We serve a God who restores. We serve a God who cares very much about making us whole again. And once in a while, somebody may receive their healing in a miraculous moment. But most times, you know, it comes one layer at a time, one moment at a time. And most times, it comes within a community of people who are committed to seeing you flourish. Dr. Lauren Lax joins me today to talk about health and healing, how our bodies hang on to things that impact our weight, our immune response, etc., how gut health very much is connected to brain health, and how God often brings that healing one layer at a time. In fact, she has her own amazing healing journey to share with us today. We're going to get her on in a moment, but I got a quick announcement. If you're traveling this season, we want you to take us with you. We want to go wherever you're going, especially if it's warm. So we've got a free app in the App Store. Search Faith Radio Network, and you can listen to us, live stream us from anywhere in the world, clear as day. And I don't know if you knew this, for those of you who listen by radio on our radio network or on the Upper Midwest, but once the live show goes to podcast, we've got listeners in about 100 countries. Isn't that amazing? So as you listen, would you pray for friends listening all over the world who maybe are in situations that are dire and scary and hard, and yet they're finding hope here? Would you pray for your brothers and sisters around the world? Well, let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get this conversation started. Dr. Lauren Lax helps women with unsolved health issues get to the root and reach their highest potential beyond illness. As a doctor of occupational therapy, a functional medicine practitioner, and nutritionist, Dr. Lauren's work is inspired by her 25 years of personal and clinical experience recovering from gut health and digestive disorders, autoimmune conditions, mold illness, Lyme disease, hormone and thyroid imbalances, and severe eating disorders. And she's now helping others to do the same. Dr. Lauren's personal story has been featured on ABC, Good Morning America, CBS, and USA Today. She lives in Austin, where she operates her private practice and walks in freedom and peace from the inside out. Dr. Lauren, welcome to the program.
So excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to this conversation. And before we get into your really amazing backstory, just would like to answer this question because we open the show every day with it. What has God been talking to you about these days?
I love that you start with that question. And it's definitely about being in the moment and just trusting Him to work out the details. And so just recently, as we're speaking, actually, I'm here in Florida. I actually live in Austin, Texas, though. And there was a big ice storm coming. And my mom messaged me and she's like, Lauren, do you want to go to the beach maybe? And they have a beach home out here in Florida. And literally within an hour, I booked my flight, packed my bags, was at the airport, and then on a flight, got out in the nick of time to miss the ice storm. But all that to say is that night on that flight, 2 nights ago, they canceled our 11 p.m. flight, my connecting flight, because of fog, basically. And so I was just so bummed. I've never had a flight be canceled before. And it's just like, you know, I feel like whenever you fly or whenever, like, weather happens, like, those are two opportunities to realize you're not in control of anything.
Yeah, right.
And so it's just really lean in. And so really, I just was like, God, just, like, work out the details. And He always does, because it's like I deplane in Nashville. And that's actually where a big part of my journey we're about to talk about happened. And so at 11 p.m. at night, call one of my angels, one of the individuals that had intervened in my life 12 years earlier, to see if I could stay with her that night. And lo and behold, she's up. She's a teacher. She's usually not up at that time. But got to end up having this amazing sleepover with this old friend I hadn't seen in quite some time, and then got on my merry way to come to Florida the next day in the bright sunshine, not being super dark at night getting in. And it just made me think, you know, like sometimes like when life doesn't work out how we planned or we want, God sometimes has something better, or usually has something better, has something better for us. And that's really how it worked out in that scenario. And it was just a very minuscule experience, but a very just God wink of like, he is always watching over us and there's always angels among us if we're really open to receiving.
So beautiful. And you know, the detour, the canceled flight turns into a sleepover with a friend. Wow, that's so precious. And if your mom wants my phone number, go ahead and hand it over because she can call me anytime because, you know, winter goes about 8 months in the upper Midwest. So.
Oh, my gosh. We don't know how to handle it in Austin. Everyone lost their power and it's not that much.
That's, oh, bless your heart. Well, before we get into talking about the body's capacity to hold on to things in a way that impacts our health, I'm so fascinated by that. Let's talk about your backstory. And just for friends who have not heard your story, you almost died, and that's not an overstatement. You almost died from anorexia. So I want to know, how old were you when you first started to pay attention to your weight? And just take us to that point of your story and onward.
Definitely. So 9 years old is where the seeds began to really start to be planted at a young age, where it's like I'm in dance class growing up and teacher tells me to tuck in my tummy or teaches the class how to start doing crunches. Or my best friend at the time says, hey, I'm drinking Diet Coke in her lunchbox. It makes you lose weight. And my mom saying a comment of like, Lauren, you sound like an elephant upstairs as I would like leap down the hall. And so those little seeds just start to be planted so innocently. Fast forward to fourth grade and a fourth grade recess. And I'm 10 years old with like a pink scrunchie in my frizzy hair that my mom made me wear. And all I wanted to do was fit in. And that day in particular, the popular girls invited me to join their gossip circle, where they're like laughing at Melanie Strawn's ugly sweater and gawking over Eric Arthur's cute freckly face. And then the topic of weight comes up. And the queen bee says, oh my gosh, you guys, I weighed myself last night and I'm 69 pounds. So fat. And then turning to each of us and saying, what do you weigh? And one by one, we had to go around the gossip circle and report to the drill sergeant. And really, at a healthy 80 pounds at that age, I was by no means a fat kid. But when the circle got to me, I gulped and I lied. And I said, I don't know. And all I remember is just thinking, I just want to be good enough. And going home that day, I stood in the pantry and turned over my favorite Dorito snack pack that I would eat for my after-school snack and began learning a whole new language, which was fat grams and calories. And then at age 10, my life path took a really sharp turn from there. And really, it was that moment, that was the catalyst moment that I recall really setting me over into a whole new world that I did not know what anorexia was, had never heard of eating disorders, orthorexia. And if you've ever known an individual that has dealt with any disordered type of eating, it's like, it's an unspoken language. There is just a different mentality that takes over. And I really do believe it is like the enemy speaking lies. And so just slowly but surely, it really was about 6 months before anyone really knew what was up, even not myself. I was just innocently trying to lose 10 pounds. And what that looked like is really just cutting my calories, fat grams, subsisting on maybe an apple a day, some carrot sticks a day, and running, doing calisthenics outside. I was 10 years old. So, I mean, it was just like dieting to the capacity that I could. And about 6 months in, my parents just recognized at my pediatrician's appointment as well, like, you know, I just don't look healthy. I've got dark circles under my eyes. My hair is falling out in clumps. I have like just some skin, like rashes popping up, like just malnutrition really. And so I'm triaged for everything like from mono to anemia, like classic things you may triage an individual with malnutrition. But the doctor says, you may want to like also consult with this person. And then I was sent to an eating disorder specialist. And from there, it was just game, set, match as I began another whole new world outside of just dieting world, which was recovery, treatment, eating disorder world. And for the next almost 15 years, I would live in and out of both of these worlds. So I spent 4 years accumulated of my life, like behind bars is what I say, inside hospitals and treatment centers. And in between that time, it was just in and out of doctor's offices. My dance classes and basketball practice, soccer games, plays all got replaced with therapy appointments, group therapy appointments, doctor's appointments, nutritionist appointments, tube feedings that I'd have to come home at like 14 years old at nighttime so my mom could put the tube in my nose by 9 o'clock so I couldn't go out after a football game. So I was being tube-fed at home and just like the doctors and my parents really fighting for my life, where like something else in me was just fighting to be like feel good in my own skin. like as time went on, it was no longer about being 69 pounds and like fitting in with the queen bee, but it really became an identity. It became a sense of control, a sense of achievement. I couldn't earn my gold stars for the day unless I started every morning with 1,000 crunches on the ground. Couldn't have anything touch my lips until I had exercised, and then before each meal, basically. So it got to the point where I was exercising 6 to 8 hours a day, and it just like really spiraled into this whole world. And really the unfortunate thing about my experiences with treatment was the complete opposite world of my eating disorder, which was typical treatment for my eating disorder was Pop-Tarts, pizza, Prozac. It was very symptom-based treatment, like say we see in just modern America's conventional healthcare. So if a person's overweight, you know, eat, move more, eat less, or if a person has a chronic illness, it's take a pill for an ill versus getting to the root cause of this illness. And so my symptoms were treated very much the same way for a person that's like wanting or needing to gain weight and need food freedom, or what made the most sense in those models. And so I really lived in two polarizing worlds, and which I didn't feel good in either of them, and never really knew a balance. And so
I'm going to jump in right there because we need to take a break. But I think you make such, and I listened to your TED talk online, and I thought it was so interesting that you had comments made to you while you're in treatment by, you know, people saying, I'm going to fatten you up, girl, so you have hips like mine. And we're giving you 3 pastries, like all this processed food to heal your precious little fragile body that had been deprived of nutrition. I'm just, before you get to the rest of your story, just now as a clinician, as someone who, you know, has a doctorate and are helping other people, if you were in that role talking to the younger you, what would you prescribe for healing? But friends, wait to hear how God finally intervened. I have so many questions for you about this story. So hang on, friends. We got more great conversation up ahead. Dr. Lauren Lax joins me today, and her website is drlauren.com, and Lauren is spelled with a Y. On her website, since we're not giving away books today, we're giving an unlimited supply of her 3-day gut reset, because it's a free offering on her website, a 3-day gut reset found on drlauren.com, and we will link that in the show notes. But we're going to hear the rest of Dr. Lauren's story of true recovery and then answer gut health questions. So just like when we have Dr. Jill or Dr. Troy on, text in your questions, because we'll do our best to weave those into the conversation. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Receive a daily email featuring a scripture graphic. Sign up for the verse of the day at myfaithradio.com.
Don't lose heart, don't you dare let go. I've been where you are not alone. I know it gets dark, I know it gets hard, but we're gonna make it home. So don't lose heart.
Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Dr. Lauren Lax today. She is a doctor of occupational therapy, functional medicine practitioner, nutritionist. Her backstory also is one of almost dying from anorexia and a battle from 9 to 10 years old to her young adult years. In fact, if you were to Google her, you will see she was on, I think, Good Morning America and some other major media outlets where they show pictures of her in the YMCA at this, I think, in her 69 pounds, 70 pounds. And we're going to get to the point where the D-Day happened, where God intervened in a significant way. But at this point, you were in and out of treatments as a young teen, and your mom had to put a feeding tube in you at night to make sure you got the calories. In those all those times of treatment, Lauren, were you in your head going, you can try, but I'm kind of doing my thing? Because I've heard that times when anorexics are walking through the treatment, they have to have the want to, and lots of times that's their last way of maintaining control. So what was your mindset going through all those first initial treatment programs?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just like, you're taking this away from me. And like, it was a loss of control. And it really, like, for me at that time, my eating disorder had not cost me more. My treatment experiences had cost me more than I felt like my eating disorder did, if that makes sense. And so like the treatment for the eating disorder is what took away from what I wanted to do. Now, the eating disorder really was also taking away, but in my young brain at that time, I didn't see it that way. So I just felt like, well, these people are trying to rip my goal.
I was going to say, you had in your gut, you had to know them shoving pastries down your mouth is not something that would be helpful. And now you're a gut health expert. So again, in a little bit, we're going to get to gut health. But you knowing what you know now, and you were to meet younger you as an expert walking into young Lauren's situation, what would you have prescribed at that point?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there's three things. And it's like, number one, change your story. And so I would prescribe, you have to understand vision first. So like, what is it you want in your life? And like, really setting healthy goals and understanding what my goals were, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally. And like, that would be number one, just getting without vision. And because the story I was living then, like, it was really to like, what was the underlying reason why I was doing what I was doing? I didn't understand that. And so I needed to understand that. It was because I didn't feel like I was good enough to know my worth. For example, is what started that. And then changing my state, change your state would be like really the health piece of the puzzle. And I really come from a gut love versus gut hate approach in all areas, both mentally and physically. And so what that would look like is really like teaching a girl like myself at that age, like really, what does it mean to nourish your body and to feel good in your own skin? You know, with foods that are nutrient dense foods, and what do carbs and fats and proteins all do for the body, as opposed to like, you know, diet culture preaches to us what not to eat, but they don't really like talk about like why to eat certain foods and why we need certain nutrients and like how it really can feel good when we do have that right synergy and when our gut feels good. You mentioned the gut. Like, I remember distinctly 4 toaster pastries showing up on my, like, Pop-Tarts on my hospital tray. It was a mistake by the kitchen. I should have actually only been plated 2, but the nurse serving me said, nope, you got to eat 4. And so in one setting, in, like, 15 minutes, I had to scarf 4 of these down. And I just remember, like, my body ejecting them and then being punished by the staff to then drink an Ensure shake. So it's like, my gut's not feeling good. They're just trying to cram food and calories in me.
And so the sugar, you know? Exactly. I mean, imagine all the sugar response, the insulin response. Wow, keep going.
Being a prisoner in your own skin kind of feeling. Wow. And that's really what began to make me just very, like, a skeptical in a way of, like, what I'm told. But, yeah, health-wise, just, like, really establishing, like, how God created all macronutrients on the planet. And then also like about our gut health, I think that's a huge piece of the puzzle that most people, like, we have digestion throughout our lives. It's what drives our life. Like, without being able to digest food and to eat food, like in water, we're not going to be here very long. And so, gut health plays a huge role in life. And then lastly would be like changing my strategy. And so it's like really figuring out, like, you know, who is a really good role model, even maybe in my life, that to like model that is like living healthy, whole, free. And because my current strategy for like feeling good in my own skin inside and out wasn't working. And so by gaining vision, really fundamental health principles to like establish good gut health, as well as nutrient dense eating in a healthy relationship with food. And then, like, I call it the as-if mindset. Like, who is it that I really want to be? And, you know, little kids are really great at doing this. If they put on a basketball jersey or a Spider-Man costume, they believe they're that person. And at 4 years old, I loved Belle. Always put a Belle dress on. And every time I put that Belle dress on, I thought I was Belle. And then we lose that a little bit along the way, is, like, really believing wholeheartedly that I could be healthy, whole, confident in my own skin, and putting on that as-if mindset. That's really what helped me in the later years begin to recover and to accept recovery as like something that was like exciting and something that I wanted versus just this push and pull, tug of war.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really such a good way to describe it. It's a push and pull until you cast the vision, until you get the vision for your life. And we just got a few minutes before our hard break at the bottom of the hour, but let's jump ahead then to the day. There's so much more to your story that you could tell, but I feel like you have still so much more to offer from your expertise. But to the point where you were at the YMCA, you showed up to work out. How old were you at this point?
So I was 23 years old.
And you weighed how much?
I was 79 pounds, so it was just like flash rushing back to everything first began.
Wow. So you show up. Tell us what happened.
Yeah. Well, I just remember stepping on the scale that morning, seeing a number I had not seen since I was that 10-year-old girl, and for the first time being scared for my life. And there was not a doctor telling me to be scared or my parents standing over me. I was living in Nashville, away from them. And I just remember understanding why I had been experiencing chest pains and why my stress fractures on my feet were just like so debilitating and why my gut would shut down anytime I ate anything. By that point, just my body was in shutdown mode. And I remember getting into the car at about 5 a.m. to head to the gym. And I started going towards one of my like mini gyms. I don't know how many gym memberships I had at that time, but something in me, like, it was God, like whipped me around for whatever reason and said, oh, Lauren, you want to go on that Stairmaster at the YMCA. The YMCA was the only gym that had a Stairmaster. So I whip around, start driving, and remember praying and crying out loud, God, help me make a change today. And just, God, help me make a change today. And to me, I thought that meant, help me work out 30 minutes less on my Stairmaster, or help me eat a tablespoon of almond butter more. Just like the little baby steps. Help me, God. And when I got to the gym at the YMCA, I get out of my car and I start collecting my, like, I call them my magazine Bibles. I kept these magazines, like fitness magazines, in my trunk that I would just read for hours on my Stairmaster, 3 hours in the morning. And not, as I'm collecting those things, I hear a voice and it says, good morning, Lauren. And I whip around and I see not one, but 9 other people walk up. And there were 9 other gym goers that I don't really know from Adam, just like people that I would say acquaintances, see in the gym, about my parents' age, that would work out at that time in the morning. They had seen me all that past year and I got to know them in that capacity. And they stepped in and said, how are you, Lauren? You've been on our hearts. And I said, okay. And they said, we want to help you. We're worried about you. And they kind of go on to just say, like, we don't know what would happen if we see you every day on the Stairmaster. And if you were to, like, collapse, we just don't know. And all of us came together last night, literally the night before, and just said, we're worried. Like, God put this worry on all of their hearts without them even saying anything to each other until that moment. And then they decided that they were going to have this little intervention in this parking lot. And they, one another said, Lauren, we've called Vanderbilt Hospital. And we said, they said, we can bring you up there. And I hear the word hospital and I'm gripping my keys by this point, cause I know what that means. And I said, I'm fine, guys. And then they continue to tell me, just do it for us. We will let you go. You'll be fine if you're fine. And something inside me just melted and felt like maybe this is just what I prayed for. And
we got to pause here. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. And thank the Lord for these people you call your gym angels. So when we come back, we're just going to talk about how you got the glimpse that healing was possible for you. And then, oh my goodness, friends, Dr. Lauren is a doctor of occupational therapy, functional med, nutritionist. Wow, she does so much to help people heal, and the girl has walked it out. She's giving away the 3-day gut reset on her website. We'll include that in the show notes. Don't go away. More great conversation up ahead. Oh, he's so faithful. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Dr. Lauren Lacks joins me today. She's a doctor of occupational therapy, a functional medicine practitioner, nutritionist, helps many, many people heal. She's a gut health expert. But what we've been spending the last half hour doing is unpacking her story because it's so phenomenal. I see a few questions came in. And just like when Dr. Troy or Dr. Jill are on, go ahead and text in your questions and we'll do our best to weave these into the conversation. But we just got to get to this part of her story. So she battled anorexia from 9 to 10 10 years old to her young 20s and been in and out of treatment centers. But in the early times, there was just not a vision for her life, and the treatment really wasn't helpful help. But there was this point that she's at the Y. She's 23 years old. She's 79 pounds. And this group of workout friends who are like her parents' age got around her one day when she showed up and said, "We've called the hospital and we want you to go." And there's this moment where she thought, "I'm fine." And the next moment she thought, "No, this may be the answer to my prayers." And so this time you went into treatment, and this time was the turning point of you getting better. When did you have that moment where you thought, "This is going to be different this time"?
Yeah, I mean, that was really, they took me to the hospital and the doctors actually were going to let me go. And then within the next 48 hours, I found myself in the ICU with a heart rate in the near 20s and doctors saying I may not make it. And wow. It was really in that moment that something inside me clicked and just said, this has gotten way bigger than me. And something inside me also heard God say, "Lauren, buckle up your seatbelt. I've got this, but it's going to be a ride." And it was really where, that was where my heart of surrender happened. I was just like, "God, I don't know what this is going to look like, but I know life is going to be different on the other side." And I made up my mind that that would be the case. And really, it was a very like climbing out of the weeds kind of, it wasn't going to be fast and quick. God, like, had me stay in the hospital for the next 4 weeks, and I was on heart rate monitors and tube feedings and IV fluids. And at the end of the 4 weeks, the doctor said, like, I was in a bit more stable of a place, and just said, "You can either stay here another 6 to 8 weeks and just continue, we'll continue this treatment as is, or you can go to treatment. You don't, like, one of two choices, no other option." And I wanted that tube out of my nose, and so I decided, okay, I'll go to treatment. And it's probably going to be like every time I've ever been before. And I said, I'll do that, and I'll stay the minimum 6 weeks, and that's it. And then I'll come back to Nashville. Life will be fine. Go about my business. And so chose a treatment center. God really handpicked that as well, in Miami, Florida, of all places. Southern girl, never had ever thought about going to Miami at all. And there happened to be a nutritionist I worked with during college that she's just like, "Lauren, just trust us. We do things differently here." And so I came down there. God put in my life the only Christian counselor I've really ever worked with in this journey, in that treatment center, which was a secular center of all places, but just handpicked this amazing counselor who I would meet with daily. And really just, he was walking every single day throughout that. I ended up staying not 6 weeks, but almost a year in Miami. And not really what I had planned or intended at all at the 6 week mark, actually. Like, it's just God was like, pick out these onion layers or peel them back layer by layer. But at the 6 week mark, the day I was going to walk out the door, I actually started having chest pains all of a sudden again. And I hadn't had chest pains since, like, you know, the beginnings when I went into the hospital weeks earlier, about 10 weeks earlier. And it was just, to me, looking back on it, it was just another, a little God nudge, just like, "Lauren, you're not done yet." And it was just idiopathic. I went to the cardiologist, and he did work me up for some murmur arrhythmia kind of stuff happening that, like, completely resolved within the next couple of weeks. I went back to the cardiologist, and it was just like, to me, looking back, it's just like God saying, like, "I'm not done with you yet, Lauren." And every day throughout that treatment, I actually kept a blog that I've written some in a book now, where he was just teaching me the littlest big lessons and just working and chiseling on my heart throughout that. So, like, you know, you said at the beginning of the show, sometimes healing happens in a moment. Sometimes it happens layer by layer. And it really was day by day, moment by moment, where he was teaching me things of, like, you know, on double bagel day, where I'm faced with, like, not one, but two bagels. And I'm so carb phobic as it is, and, like, having to sit with that and learn how to, like, accept myself really through, like, these rules that I'm breaking, or teaching me things through, like, the heart incense, for example, or teaching me things through, like, Egg McMuffin Friday mornings, like, things that just, like, seem absurd, now even, like, made up, but it's, like, these things actually happen. But, like, in note, it's just God was with me every step of the way, and really peeling back layers, and also just, like, the reliance on exterior at all, of, like, really being stripped of feeling, like, totally out of control, with my body in and out, like how my gut was feeling as well, and really relying on him for strength through this absurdity of treatment, and at the same time having this amazing counselor as well. So it just like was a beautiful mess, and just beautiful, like God always makes beauty from ashes. And so by the end of my treatment, ended up deciding to stay a few more months in Miami because I had actually started to form a community outside of treatment and like started a new life outside of treatment as I exited treatment. And that's where God then started this whole new journey of health and like introducing me to both like health from a community perspective and like amazing church down there, as well as health from like I found CrossFit, I found paleo, which were then a gateway to functional medicine. A lot of times those worlds will overlap. And so he just like had a method to the madness, and like I met so many amazing people along the way.
Yeah, you know, it's such an incredible story. We literally could spend this whole show and a couple more shows just on your story. But I also want to be able to draw from some of your expertise, but I don't want to rush past your story. So friends, just so you know, she's not kidding when she said this was a journey that she had to stick with because there were secondary health issues that came as a result of the trauma to her body that anorexia was, including mast cell activation syndrome, mold, Lyme, hormone issues, thyroid imbalances. I mean, you had, did those things come in waves? Did they come and hit you all at once? Just say a quick word, if you would, about getting, you know, feeling like I just got on my feet and I'm getting blindsided by this. I mean, did you have enough vision just to keep going, or was it just continued just moment by moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a slow build, but I call it post-recovery recovery, what happens to your body after like going through something like that, an eating disorder, disordered eating, chronic dieting, et cetera, just from a gut terrain perspective, since the gut is like the immune system, it's the brain. And like a lot of, and the hormones as well are balanced there. So as you said, I ended up being diagnosed with over 13 chronic illnesses and conditions that doctors just told me were incurable, that I would be stuck with hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's, lupus, diabetes, the mold, the Lyme. Like there really weren't any specialists that I was seeing at that time. It's becoming more widespread a little bit in the functional world. Now as I'm talking about it, Dr. Jill's talking about it and other practitioners are realizing it, but all that to say is like, it really, my body became like a medical school textbook to me. I was actually planning to go to medical school, and then this health journey kind of derailed me because I didn't feel well enough. And then it really was like, God gave me this like fast track backseat into learning how to heal myself. And I think just from my history of like really being a healthy skeptic back to like Pop-Tart experience at, you know, 10 years old, eating four Pop-Tarts and being like, is this the right way to, you know, treating symptoms? I believed there has to be another way. And so just like there was true grit and God just putting the right resources, the right people, and 100% of those things in remission and maintained. And like, it's just really amazing. You know, God, like,
it just teed that up. I'm in awe, really, because so often, you know, it can sound so cliche to say God will take your mess and make it a message, but it's just true. I mean, Dr. Troy, who's on once a month, was headed to med school. And I mean, and some are called. I mean, Dr. Jill went to med school, but still, his sickness, he woke up one day and he had neurological problems. He couldn't move his arms, and he was a really high-level athlete. And just by self kind of diagnosing and learning, he thought, God is calling me into preventative care. She was in, Dr. Jill, MD, and then had cancer, mold, Lyme, and all that, and she's still an MD, but then because of her own battle, pursued the wider range of functional medicine. And here again, you as well. I mean, I'm so grateful that God is raising up people in all of these realms of healthcare, because it's just so important. Would you say a word about just how our bodies hold on to things? Like you and I had a conversation recently about how people can hold on to weight. Sometimes you're holding on to weight because maybe you're eating imbalanced or something, but other times nothing changes and all of a sudden you've gained 10 pounds and you're like, what happened? Could it be hormones? Well, yeah, it could be. But you also said it could be feeling abandoned, isolated. I mean, there's certain things that happen in life, a sudden life experience where nothing else changes, but that does. And suddenly your body retains weight. So just talk about the dynamic of how our bodies hold on to things.
Yeah, I oftentimes find symptoms to be metaphors of like things in our lives, like at a deeper level. So our issues show up in our tissues and our body is just manifesting that issue. And like, kind of, it's like, knock, knock, are you listening? This is what's going on. And different symptomologies can be linked to specific types of stressors. And this is really where the gut-brain axis comes into play, because the brain is what intercepts information. We take it in at a psychological level. And yet they are linked like a walkie-talkie system. So the brain then sends a signal down to the gut. And since the gut is like the mothership of, like, I'm connected to your immune system, connected to your hormones, connected to your skin, which is your immune system, connected back up to your brainwave to like tell you if I'm under inflammation and anxiety. So they're two-way street. And so that's where like that brain sends that signal to the gut. And then depending on what signal that is sent, the gut then sends a signal to the mechanism. So for example, with like, my eating disorder, the eating disorders, bloating, constipation, gut-related issues as well, are oftentimes connected to indigestible conflicts in our life. So something we can't swallow, digest, break down, or eliminate, like get rid of, figuratively. And so, for example, if one it tends to be more constipated, where in your life have you been feeling stuck? Or like what was the, like right before you remember that onset of constipation becoming more of a thing in your life? Because there was probably a time it wasn't as much of a thing. What was going on in your life at that time that was maybe the precursor trigger? Just like we talk about root causes in functional medicine, like what's the root cause of this person's bloating? We may call it SIBO, but a layer deeper, bacteria are only going to be active. And SIBO would be a bloating disorder, basically. A lot of people actually have it. But before that would be what really was has been hard to break down, digest, maybe even from a stress perspective in your life. I'm overwhelmed. I have a lot on my plate at a certain season, could precede. So that's why I wouldn't say even stat, but like a meme that maybe goes around 99% of all illness is related to stress. And it is true because there's that gut-brain axis. And so that's just one layer. The brain is actually mapped for over 1,000 different symptomologies, conditions, based on the specific type of stressor you've gone through. So one more example would maybe be skin related. So acne, great example of an attack conflict. Our skin is our protective mechanism. So if we feel under attack, it could be self-attack, like self-devaluation. I'm just cutting down on myself because I don't fit in with my peers. Or it could be an attack from like, oh, my best friend just stabbed me in the back, or like something with a colleague. I've seen this with a former client that had been in a significant law case. He was a lawyer and he was in that for 2 years, and that's when his skin rashes actually had begun. So this skin will flare, whether it's in a rash or acne. Why do so many middle schoolers have acne? Well, like, are we kind of under attack of ourselves and our peers at that age? And so, like, as you kind of map out the brain and the body, it's really kind of taken away from a lot of lab testing that I used to do a lot of workup from a functional, just physical perspective. But I'm able to help people understand also from an emotional, mental stress perspective, what could be causing their symptoms with this approach.
So we have to go to break in just a moment, but what about eczema and psoriasis, like in young adults? Would that be the same kind of thing, or is it a different kind of inflammatory response?
Yeah, there's some self-devaluation there, though, since it's more autoimmune in nature. So I'm like self-devaluing, so it shows up in that way.
Interesting. Okay, let's pause here. When we come back, we'll talk more about gut health. And again, on Dr. Lauren's website, Dr. Lauren, spelled with a Y, so LAURYN.com. She's got a free 3-day gut reset, and we'll put that link in the show notes. But if you don't mind, Dr. Lauren, I would love for you just to walk us through what that might look like. And got a couple questions here about gut issues. And just always the caveat when we have doctors on, they're not here to digest you. Definitely not here to digest you, but diagnose you over the airwaves, but to offer some general information and answer your questions. We'll be back in a moment. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live, and I want to encourage you to consider becoming a global missionary if you're not one already. When you sponsor a child with the ministry of One Child, you're linked with a boy or girl who will know you by name and treasure the thought that you care about them. Most of them will pray for you daily. If you write them, they'll write you back. The child you sponsor will receive educational assistance, supplemental food, clothing, health care, services, and opportunities for personal love and encouragement. But most of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The cost is just $39 a month, a little more than a dollar a day. You can't necessarily change the entire world on your own, but what if you could change the world for one? Sponsor a child now at myfaithradio.com. I hope you believe that. He's the same God yesterday, today, forever. And you're going to hear me say it over and over again. Every step towards healing matters. God didn't save you just to slave you. You know, He didn't save you just to work you to the bone. He saved you because He loves you. And He's preparing a place for you in eternity. But guess what? Part of that eternity starts now, because His kingdom is in our midst. And when His Spirit is alive in us, He wants us to flourish. He wants us to live a spilling over, fruitful, abundant life. And He wants our lives and our countenance to just sparkle to such a degree that people ask about the hope that's within us. That's why I love to have docs on the show to talk about the whole person. And it matters so much. Your healing and wholeness matters. Dr. Lauren Lax joins me today. She's a doctor of occupational therapy, functional medicine, and she's a nutritionist. Her website is drlauren.com, and it's spelled LAURYN.com. She's got a free 3-day gut reset. I've already got an email from someone saying, hey, where is the show notes? But we're still doing the live show. So once the live show is over, it goes to podcast, and there you'll find the link to the 3-day gut reset. But would you walk us through that? Because you were saying before the break, you know, gut health is everything. It's connected to our brain. It's connected to all, it's the gateway to our overall health. So, and so can we safely assume that most everybody has some kind of gut issue, or is that too much of a broad statement?
Yeah, I would say in the westernized world, if you've grown up in our westernized world, you do have some degree of dysbiosis, which would be gut imbalance, bacteria imbalance, just by nature of either the foods that we grew up on. Well, I grew up on processed foods. I think my grandma that lived to be like 90-something, and she smoked like a chimney in her later life, but she grew up on like some like farm food. Like, there's great seeding of the gut that happens at a young age, and so that definitely does make a difference. The first 3 years of our life in particular is really where the gut microbiome seeded greatly for life. It doesn't mean that there's not such thing as epigenetics or things that we can do to modify and heal. And my gut's in a much healthier place. I don't think about like gut-related issues nowadays because I've done some healing. But I would say between food, the toxic environment that we live in that I know you've talked about some on the show and you're familiar with, is just we are inundated with 80 to 100,000 different toxins that like most, even other, like Europe bans, I think most of those toxins, I think it's like 12 to 20,000 that they see. So toxins being another thing, stress, as we've mentioned, like it's kind of like poking a wasp nest in the gut. So if you can imagine a wasp nest is sitting there, but you poke it, what happens? The wasps fly out. So just with exacerbated stress, say circadian dysfunction, where we're like up at 5 a.m., we're fasting until noon, we go to bed at like 10 p.m., we're looking at light, artificial light. Like, it's just basically anecdotal to how humans are wired. Our environment has greatly changed over the past billions of years that we've, you know, had a planet, but it's human physiology hasn't really changed that much. Like, we still need less stress in our lives, less toxicity in our lives, rising with the sun, setting with the sun, kind of with our schedules. So it's like we're learning to be in the world, and the world is moving at such a fast pace. And yet the body at a biome level and a health level aren't actually technological in that advancement. Like, they're very basic and fundamental. If we can like really dial in fundamentals, I see a lot of times people tremendously improve their gut.
Okay. So let's talk about, if you don't mind, just share some secrets from the 3-day gut reset. What are some very basic things we could do starting right away to help reset our gut?
Yeah, I think there's 5 gut love habits that are really simple that you could start with. And so number one is hydration, and just like drinking half your body weight in ounces of water is a good place to start. Ideally with good quality water. Most tap waters out there and plastic bottle waters are like actually glorified tap water, but have cancer-causing ingredients in there, and so or chemicals. And so sourcing your water, spring water, whether it's a really good filtered water, distilled water, something that is minimizing toxicity. Number two would be boosting digestion. So some simple ways, it's just like making sure you're digesting, breaking down your nutrients. Apple cider vinegar shots is a simple way to do that at home. Like at least once a day, if you're not into that, there's like digestive enzymes as well you can take with meals that can just help support digestion that may have been shut down or not fully supported for a while. As well as like medicinal foods, bone broth or like kimchi, kefir, those would be some like probiotic foods, and then also gut healing foods. So boosting digestion is number two. Number three would be fueling your gut, just fueling up with nutrient dense eating. So protein, healthy fat and fiber at each meal, balanced eating, 3 meals a day. And then number four, like work and play or move and rest is what I call it. So moving a little and then getting your just rest, building in sleep. Sleep is actually plays a huge role in digestion. If you're not sleeping well, I've got hacks that I help my clients with, really optimizing sleep. And then with movement, whether it's 7 minutes a day that you have or 60 minutes a day, doing something to move your body. And then number five is bookending your day with a routine that's like really away from email checking, screens, and maybe you are using your phone as like a for encouraging podcast or something like your radio show or devotional. Really like you happening to the day versus letting the day happen to you in kind of those ritual blocks to really set the tone for the day. So I help people build in a morning and evening routine.
Boy, thank you for that. So did you guys get that? Healthy water. I mean, it's worth investing in a healthy water filter so that you're getting great water, supporting your digestion, fueling your gut with nutrient-dense foods that are healthy fats, protein, and fiber, work, play, move, and rest well. Move a lot and rest well, and then bookend your day with a great routine. That's super, super helpful. When you look at all the things that, I'm going to do some of these questions because they're asking. So, okay, this one says, Dr. Lauren, I keep getting sharp pains before meals. Almost reminds me of heartburn, but it comes only before I eat. I have 5 kids. Natural passed it. It was my stomach bile that has changed, but I don't want pills that can help me with foods. Any thought?
Yeah. So I guess like a couple, I come from two angles there. It's like, number one, if this is all of a sudden that this has started, it's kind of like, again, going back to the indigestible, like, is there an indigestible conflict that preceded this that like, my body is now being cued, or we call it your limbic part of your brain, the part that remembers and holds that maybe was shocking and indigestible. So that would be number one, just thinking about that. Number two, I mean, if it's right before you're eating, it sounds like your digestion is kind of like in a shutdown mode. And so we have to look at like, A, what are you eating? Is there anything in your diet right now that may be triggering that? Like, for example, I used to drink a lot of Crystal Light and there was a lot of artificial sweeteners and I would get like really bad stomach cramps and like around meals or not around meals. So kind of like figuring, is there anything artificial in my diet or anything that I may be intolerant to? As well as like, is my stomach acid and enzymes shut down? Bile is a part of your gallbladder health as well. And so it just really would depend on where you're feeling those pains. If it's on the right side, a lot of times that's going to be related to your gallbladder. If it's more in the middle and upper GI, that could be the stomach acid and or H. pylori may be something to like work up with your doctor. If it's a few hours delayed after meals, like 2 to 3 hours, we're more into the small intestine by that time. So that could be looking at like enzymes as well as bacteria, like SIBO.
So we just got about a minute and a half left. What are some good questions we could ask God and ask ourselves just to take an inventory of how maybe the issues are manifesting in our tissues? Like, how am I stuck? God, show me places that I'm stuck, or am I listening to something, or am I in conflict? Can you think of any questions that seem to come up over and over again with some of your clients?
Yes, I think it's like number one, like, what am I really feeling? And then asking yourself, why am I feeling this way? And then what do I need? So what am I feeling? And it can be physically, obviously, like if I'm feeling gut pains, okay, I recognize I'm feeling this. Why am I feeling this way? That's where then just backtracking for yourself, like, when did this first start? And this can be very for acute things as well. I've had like stress fractures on my feet, for example, where like in my later days, not running at 10 miles per hour, but it just seemed like it was taking a while to heal. So why am I feeling this? That's related to a mobility conflict. Like it had actually started when this person and a boy that I liked a lot came back into my life, but we were not able to move forward in that relationship. When I let that relationship actually go mentally and emotionally, my stress fracture healed that day, 12 weeks later. It should have healed six to 8 weeks earlier. So my goodness. Am I feeling like what was happening in my life preceding this? And then what do I need?
Well, the time, we're out of time. This has gone so fast. Dr. Lauren, thank you for the time today. Friends, I pray this just gives you a lot to think about, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and there are answers to the questions you have. And I pray the Holy Spirit leads you and guide you into all truth, freedom, health, and wholeness. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.